cover up your name. But I was, I volunteered to do this, and then it was like, what am I going to talk about? So, and I thought, well, you know, for me, what is my practice? I mean, that's always like, everybody says, you know, how's your practice? I don't, what? I don't know. You know, and everybody says, so what is your practice? And I first time that came up, I was like sitting on cushions on my sofa, and I thought, you know, I gotta get like a real Zabaton and a cushion. You know? So I go to the store and, you know, try one out again. And the lady, and then I'm leaving, the lady says, how's your practice? The hell is that? I don't know. Nobody tells you what your practice is. So I kind of, it's kind of always a mystery to me. So thinking, well, So I went through and looked for some different articles and whatnot, and I come across one that I kind of liked, and I thought we'd just start with that. And I don't want to read it all, so I'm going to like pass it around like we used to do, remember that? And read a couple paragraphs, it's not very long, and then if you want to read, read, and if you don't, just pass along, we'll kind of start there. See where that goes.
Okay. Can we be melodramatic?
Sure.
Like a dragon in water. On Roshipat and Hiro O'Hara, summer 2002. Thinking about steadiness and practice reminds me of when I was a little girl and was swimming great breaking waves of the Pacific coast of Baja, California. The surf was ragged and sometimes treacherous, but for those who were accustomed to its rhythms, it was possible to swim through and around the currents, to bob up from under the fiercest waves. I think a key to this ability was sensing that one was part of the ocean and that to play in it was to let go into the wave, sometimes swimming under, sometimes alongside it. There were days where the ocean was utterly calm and days of wild intensity. And for a child, no matter what, there was that fish-like ease and joy of play.
Perhaps most of us enter meditation practice with the hope of finding that kind of natural joy in our lives, in the hopes of experiencing each moment fully and with the freshness of moment-to-moment awareness. And in the initial stages of our practice, many of us manage to find the quiet space to our spaciousness and spontaneous nature. Buoyed by this experience, our practice gratifies us and propels us along for a while.
And then the inevitable distraction or doubt or difficulty arises. Whether it is a subtle change in our schedule or a disturbing loss of faith, we lose our footing, drop our practice, and often completely forget for weeks at a time that we even had a meditation practice. And it is so difficult to come back, to actually stop and sit down and practice again. We know that we should just do it. Ever subtle and tricky monkey minds make that should and that just infinitely difficult, even interesting and distracting. Instead of sitting down on our cushion or going to our meditation center, we think and talk and distract ourselves with all the reasons why not to do it, or we simply forget to practice.
Practice is not something we do, it is something we are. Now, if the practice is so good for us, why is it so difficult to maintain a steady practice? It may be that the notion that practice is good for us is the very impediment. We all know how we can resist what is good for us at the table, at the gym, and on the internet. This mechanical notion of practice, if I practice, then I will be, fill in the blank. leads to discouragement, because it is not true that practice inevitably leads to happiness or anything that we can imagine. Our lives, like the ocean, constantly change, and we will naturally face great storms and dreary lulls.
How, then, to put our minds in a space where practice is always there, whether tumultuous or in the doldrums? It requires a completely radical view of practice. Practice is not something we do, it is something we are. We are not separate from our practice, and so no matter what, our practice is present. An ocean swimmer is loose and flows with the current and moves through the tide. When tossed upside down in the surf, unable to discern which way is up and which way is down, the natural swimmer just lets go, breathing out, and follows the bubbles to the surface.
And so, it can be with our practice. Seeing our practice as our life, we just let go and do it. We just practice a steadiness in our daily meditation without expectations of any kind. We just practice day in and day out, through the high points and the low. I readily doubt this practice is helping me. Okay, still it is time to sit right through this doubt. Or, I didn't sit all week. Okay, right now I'll sit for 20 minutes. And each time we come back to our practice, we experience it as more inherent in our life. Masumi Roshi, based in Los Angeles, would often use the Spanish expression for little by little to indicate this patient quality of practice. Being one with the practice, you are transformed. Poco a poco. I put you back. Oh,
sorry. Right there. This understanding of our practice is expressed by the great 13th century Japanese Zen teacher Dogen when he says that our meditation practice is not step-by-step meditation. It is simply the Dharma gate of peace and joy. It is the practice enlightenment of the ultimate way. When you grasp this, you are like a dragon in water or a tiger in the mountains.
So I was wondering, so that was
this meditation practice, but that's not the whole thing, right? Just sitting there and doing our meditation, and right? So I was looking at one of my favorite Zen authors, Brad Warner, and Bad Brad, and he had a little something to say about Zazen. The people in the book club have heard this before. The iconoclastic itinerant Soto Zen teacher, homeless Kodo Sawaki Roshi, famously said, "Zazen is good for nothing." He wasn't being fastidious. He wasn't employing some kind of skillful means by saying something he really didn't believe. He wasn't being mystical and saying it's good, wink, wink, and for nothing, nudge, nudge. Nope, he meant it. Zazen really is good for nothing. It's useless, absolutely useless. One of the hardest aspects of Zen practice is getting your head around the idea that Zazen has no goal, no goal at all. You don't do it for anything except itself. It doesn't get you anywhere. It doesn't gain you a damn thing. That's very Brad, so no. So I'm kind of wondering, you know, you hear that, how, you know, you do this because it'll deepen your practice, or you know, how's your practice? And I'm wondering, what does everybody think? What is their practice? You know, I was kind of myself. You know, sometimes my practice is, you know, being with Sangha, maybe getting a cup of coffee, buying a beer maybe, walking in a park, walking on the beach. You know, that's all part of my practice. I'm wondering, does anybody have any ideas about their practice? How they see it? Or is it just Zazen?
No, I think it's your whole life.
Yep.
Yeah. Everything you breathe, that's part of it. And if you're like Thich Nhat Hanh says, even washing the dishes, if you're mindful and you don't have anything else on your mind, and we'll look at what we do when we eat, when we're at a retreat, that's silent. What are we eating for? We're eating because we're eating. And there's no talk.
Yeah.
We're focused on that.
Yeah, sashimi, that's our practice. Yeah. There's all these forms that we have.
I'm not
that's
saying it's easy.
No.
Because my mind is crazy. That's part of it. It's going to be easy.
That's good.
I think you're right that forms are part of it, and also the things we do for the Zendo are part of it.
Yeah, exactly. Opening, closing.
Opening up, ringing the bell.
Ringing the bell.
I mean, one of the reasons why I enjoyed taking care of the altars when I did, and why I enjoy doing that now, is because it's just a different way to look at my practice. There must be hundreds of ways to look at what my practice
right.
is all about, and that one that's different that I haven't done much before.
And I always think, I don't think anybody's practice is the same as anybody else's. I think you have your own practice. I think you just, that's how you actualize this whole thing, is to come up with ways that work for you. And it doesn't, you know, one person's practice doesn't work for somebody else. You were talking, this is a guy, Sensei Jose Senzan Palma, and I think he was, Zendo in, you went there one time in New Mexico.
Oh, Upaya?
Yeah, he was at Upaya. And he says, I would like to give another tip for those who have difficulty sitting in a formal way, such as on a cushion or in a chair. You can always find an activity that you really love and just bring full awareness and mindfulness to that activity. Connect fully with that activity. If you really love to walk dogs, you just do it as practice. So that could be a practice. This is, for example, I enjoy drinking coffee in the morning. I've made a ceremony of having my coffee before I go to practice Zazen. I brew the coffee, then I take a sip. I really enjoy drinking my coffee. I appreciate every aspect of that coffee. Being fully aware of something, you enjoy it, is a way you can build good habits. You might even find it helps you do formal practice on the cushion. Try it this week and see what happens. You're curious about this practice. Fully immerse yourself in the awareness of life. And to me, that's part of my practice, is being curious about it. What is this? Why is it this way? I think that curiosity, just things are always changing. So you always have to ask that question again. What is this? Why is it this way? And that's always kind of been part of my practice. And another thing I came up, this is Douglas Phillip, he's a Vipassana teacher. He says, our practice is to meet life exactly as it is and to notice whatever fear, anger, or doubt gets in the way of direct intimate contact with this moment. Bringing attention to that as well. Rather than changing something or seeking to get somewhere, Rather than changing something or seeking to get somewhere we imagine we should be. Practice is about seeing clearly exactly how things are and how we relate to them. Practice thus becomes an increase in intimacy with life just as it is. And there is nothing, including the idea that we should be getting something or somewhere, that is unworthy of the clear, non-judgmental attention we call mindfulness. And then the end here, he says, practice life is the dynamic activity of bringing full attention to what is presenting itself most clearly in the awareness for as long as it is there. And with deepening simplicity and joy, knowing just this much. I don't see practice as just being one thing or another. I think it's a very fluid thing. I think it changes when you change. It's not always going to be the same thing. And I think that's kind of the beauty of it, you know. I practice with Brightway. Sometimes I practice with other places, you know, No Rank. Sometimes I go to Dharma Rain. Sometimes I go to Sesshin with other. But it's always, the Sangha always holds together with the practice. I think that's kind of the glue that it holds it all together. But, so.
What did you get out of the Brad Warner article? Did he go beyond where you ended reading and sort of?
Oh, Brad goes on and on and on. If you really.
Yeah.
Oh, this is just an article in the. We can go a little bit further here, if you would like. Part of the reason this goalless practice is hard to accept is that anyone who has ever done Zazen or indeed any kind of meditation practice knows quite well that there are benefits. Some people can't function without their morning coffee. I can't function without my morning Zazen. It makes me feel better, lighter, happier, more alive. If there were no benefits, why would anyone do such a ridiculous thing as sit and stare at a wall for half an hour or more every morning and night? Who has that kind of time to waste? There are plenty of folks working hard to determine and explain exactly what these benefits are and why they come about. There are a dozen books out there right now that will tell you exactly what meditation is good for, and it ain't nothing. The weird thing is that the only way one really gets any of the most important benefits of meditation practice is by giving up on the notion that there are any benefits to meditation practice. I've always found Zazen to be a very mysterious thing. I still don't get it. I still do it. I pretty much do it every day. And it's just kind of becomes a habit, it's a mystical thing. I can't say it really. I think it is a benefit, but it's so central to Soto Zen, I don't really get that. You know, I mean,
you do it every day like that. Does it come naturally to you? Because for me, I have to force myself. I don't have myself disciplined. I have to force myself to sit down and do it. Is that the same with you?
It it's not always the same. My favorite is to get up first thing in the morning.
Right.
And of course, this time of year, it's dark outside, so it's really not that nice. But in the springtime, you open the windows, and it's sublime. Yeah. I mean, it's a wonderful way to start the day. And sometimes where it was, this Zazen, or am I just kind of blissing out and enjoying myself, listening to the day start? I don't know, that could be Zazen. I mean, that's my practice. And that changes, you know. But, so I'm not real, I can't really say what my practice is. There's things that I do, and I think I'm a better person because I do those things. But I don't do it to be a better person, but I think it kind of works out that way. So, I don't know.
You mentioned the question, what is it that you carry with you? The question, what is it?
What is this?
Is this something that you more or less, that you carry through your life as you approach any different situation, person? What is this?
It's a constant question, and it's not always about getting an answer, because the answer doesn't really matter. It's the examination of what comes up, you know, in that moment when you're sitting there. Sometimes in Zazen, things come up and you, what is that? Why did that come up? What is that? So it's the curiosity that the question begs, and just being, excuse me, curious about those things. That's part of my practice, I guess. So I guess anything can be your practice. So that's the way I see it. What say you? So that's about all I got. Guess unless anybody's got something else they want to say about their practice.
How long have you been at this?
Not that long, probably 5 years.
That's all?
6 years, really? Something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Some people are just naturals.
Well, it seems to me that you've got really good insight sometimes, like in the book group and stuff. And it's like you're a real veteran.
I'm just... really? Okay. Because most of the time I'm like going, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But I think you have to talk from, you got to get down here, not so much up here. Talk about what it is and what's coming up. You know, which is, for me, is a really hard thing to get. I mean, I call myself a recovering introvert. I mean, just the idea of doing this. I mean, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I wouldn't touch this with a 10-foot pole. I mean, so my wife, she goes, you're going to give a talk? And it was like, yeah, sure. She goes, aren't you nervous? I said, well, whatever. But that's kind of my practice, too, you know, just kind of drop those things. And, you know, you're not going to get the benefit if you're holding back. And, you know, you put up that wall, it works both ways. You know, you're safe from all those people out there, but you're not getting anything this way either. So. Maybe that's my practice too.
It's your koan.
My koan. Yeah, I do a little bit of that too. That's part of my practice too. Something new. So, and I think sometimes your practice, it needs to change. Just because if it's just staring at the wall, it gets stale. You know, you don't want to do it all the time. The weird thing is, when I leave and I usually go on vacation or whatever, and you don't sit and you don't practice, and then it's kind of like, man, I want to get back. You know, you want to come back to it. So, in a way, I don't remember what it was. Reading somebody was says sometimes sitting zazen is like coming home. Mm-hmm. You know, you just come, you just sit down, mm-hmm. and.
You do better.
That's another type of practice. I haven't really taken up that. Mm-hmm. Gratitude is one of my practices that can be a very rich source.
Right.
Of course, this time of year, it's easy to come up with gratitude. Yeah, yeah. I don't. Nobody here's really, you know, as far as things to have, or nobody's really suffering in that regard. And gratitude for my Sangha, gratitude for the practice. So when somebody says, how's your practice? I mean, it's always like, don't ask me that question. It's like, I really don't want to talk about it.
Say how is yours?
How is yours? Yeah, I don't know.
Or you tell me.
You tell me, yeah. How's yours? So, yeah, I don't know.
First, I have a question. You said that you don't have self-discipline to sit. So, like, how would you define self-discipline?
Making myself do stuff that I really don't want to do sometimes, like exercise. And to me, the Zazen is difficult because after 4 years of more or less regular sitting, my mind is still not still. And there are no goals, maybe that's not supposed to be the way. But I talked to Geoshin at Sunzen during the retreat about this, and she said, "Ask me, is your body still?" And I had to tell her that no, it's not. I've always been nervous and fidgety and watching TV at home at night and always shifting around and stuff, so I don't know what the connection is. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I guess, my view, I think the way I define self-discipline is just exactly how you said it, is the ability to make yourself do something that you don't really want to do.
Right. Well, no, I mean, when I do sit, it's good. And it's not finding the time, because I'm always up about 5 or 5:30 in the morning. But
I think
then I beat myself up over it if I don't do it too. That's bad too.
I think Zazen helps with self-discipline though, right? Because it's supposed to create that space for you to be able to choose, right? I think you're not even aware that you can choose to do something else other than just kind of blindly following the path of least resistance of what you want to do, right?
That's good, path of least resistance, yeah. So a piece of pie instead of an apple.
Pie, coffee, and puff coffee, morning news,
There are four yogas. There's raja, there's karma, there's bhakti, and there's jnana. And raja is the science of meditation, the mind, whatever, and karma is action and whatever, and bhakti is devotion, and jnana is the intellectual, so understanding that they're all connectedness. And I think because it comes out of a monastic setting, there's such a premium put on sitting, on Raja Yoga. But in fact, the other yogas are really as authentic and as valuable. So in the course of my life, I've met people who don't sit very much. They're bhaktis, they're devotional. They just, whatever bhaktis do, they chant and they whatever. I found myself to be much more karmic yoga, more karmic yoga. I just feel more alive and I feel more spontaneous, I feel more giving when I'm sort of in some sort of a setting that I can be active and useful and productive. And so, living in settings where the premium is on long hours of sitting sort of distorts the idea that there isn't other ways of really having authentic ways of sort of showing up, so to speak. So
right.
I'm really responding to what you just said, in the sense of I just have known people for a long time who sitting was just a small part of what they did, or maybe not. They went into the shrine, but they were, they were even monks, they would sort of do their practice by chanting or serving the poor or taking a walk or having a beer with a good friend.
Yeah. Works for me. Well, you ask that, do I meditate every day? Well, I kind of do, because when I get a habit, I don't think about it. And I really don't want to think that much about sitting. I really don't, because it kind of ruins it if I think too much about it, So I just want to, I'm going to sit. Just sit, Something comes up, it comes up. I mean, when you go to a session, sometimes a lot of times it does come up. Because you're stuck. What else are you going to do? You're not talking to anybody, right? So you're just sitting, and then your mind wants to do something, right? So, hey, let's look at this. What's this? It's curiosity, and things come up. So in that respect, I think it is useful. Not always. No. I just do it because habits are easier for me.
Well, right.
if I have a habit, then I just, if I do it every day, then it just, I don't think about it.
Part of your routine.
Yeah, yeah. So I have all my bills auto-pay, so I don't want to think about them. I just want it to go out. I just want life to go on. I don't, some things I don't want to, you know. And sitting is one of those things where it's beneficial, but I don't want to have to make myself sit. So I just, if I do it, then it's done. Check. Sat. Okay. I'm done. Oh, excuse me. So, okay. I don't work. 9 o'clock? Really?
Is it 9 o'clock already?
No, it's not.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I mean. I'm supposed to go to 9 o'clock? Okay. Come on.
8:30.
8:38. Oh, well.
You gotta keep talking.
No, I don't. Well, let me see. I can tell you what more Brad Warner said. And yeah, so.
Well, I will say that my practice does ebb and flow. After the session, for whatever reason, I had a very difficult time with my own discipline. And my day is never the same. I'm always having to make sure I get this done or get that done. But one thing that pulled my practice together was telling Domio that I was really slacking off.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it was like the next day, I said, I'm going to sit this way. And I've been doing it that way ever since.
Yeah.
That was helpful to me.
Yeah, there's definitely that ebb and flow, for sure. And Sesshin just seems to kind of compress things, you know. Just kind of, it's a weird thing. It really is. I and every time's always different. You know, it's a bizarre thing. I do quite a bit of it, and it's like, and it's just like right before I go. I mean, I guess that's part of my practice. But right before I go, I was like, oh,
yeah.
Oh shit, why did I do this? You know, I was like, oh, you know, I just, oh God, I was. And so, you know, and then sometimes at the end, you're just like, not where you thought you'd be. But,
what do you mean, not where you thought you'd be?
Oh, you always come up, you always have the anticipation, this, you know, it's going to be this, going to be that. And then partway through, you get turned around, and it's a good turning around, but I never come out where I think I will be when I'm going into something like that. And sometimes it's kind of neat, because you're someplace that you didn't think you were going to be. So it's a surprise, you know. But in that respect, if you let go of things, it kind of goes better, you know. Mm-hmm. It's, I haven't got to a point where I can't, I going in, I can just say, oh, yes, I've got it, you know. There's no anticipation. I can just go in there and experience this. But that's part of the process, too. What are those expectations? What is that, you know? Is there going to be a point where I can drop all that? Yeah, quite often there is, you know, some of that drops away. And then sometimes other things come up. And who knows, like the Brightway session, the very end, just totally, man, messed me up. I mean, I was just like, I didn't want to be here. This isn't where I was supposed to be, you know? I was angry at the end. I don't know where that came from, but it was like, okay, well, that's what this session is. But so, yeah. So a lot of strange things, people break down sometimes, and you see them crying. But that's a great thing, you know. So, always had trouble with that one. other thoughts.
I feel like, you know, if I were to take a snapshot of, you know, what I think Zazen is, as an example of practice, and you were to do that every 3 months, you'd get a different answer every time, right?
Yeah.
This is the same way. But lately I've been thinking a lot about, I have you to thank for Elihu Genyo-Smith. He has this term phrase he uses in his book, Endless Dimension, Universal Life. I love that turn of phrase. I feel like Zazen is maybe endless dimension universal life, agreeing to be endless dimension universal life. But of course not all agreeing to be endless dimension universal life is Zazen. So I kind of feel right now like that agreeing, that root level agreeing is practice for me.
Yeah.
But you know, 2 months from now it might be something else.
Yeah, that's it. There's like this thread that goes through this whole thing, and there's something there, and it's kind of, it's not happening here, but it's running through the whole practice, and it's kind of like I don't really want to talk about it. It's a strange thing, but. Gosh, I'm not coming with good descriptives here. It's just, it's something that exists in my practice. And it's probably what keeps it going. You know, when I first started this, I went to the Oregon Buddhist Temple, and I driving over the Ross Island Bridge, and I'm going, what the hell are you doing? I mean, this is totally bizarre. I don't know anything about Buddhism. And I'm driving across this, what are you doing? And I was, and even now, you know, sometimes I'm driving in and the question comes up, what is this? What are you doing? But that's part of my practice too, you know, that, you know.
I see my practice as the flip side of one coin. To me, it's very private. I don't have to explain it. Myself even. Mm-hmm. And then the other side is I'm quite public about it. I mean, I find myself saying, yeah, I practice, you know, I do Zen, and I'm wear a badge and I'm proud of it.
Yeah, I get you one of these.
Who cares what little old ladies do or say? And then I think the only expectation is one evening here, I felt really sleepy, and I thought, how embarrassing if I fall out of this chair. So that's my expectation. And then when my stiff neck shows up, I think, okay, so why am I here? It'll go away. Never mind. It's just showing up to remind me why I'm here. So, you know, to me, it's a kick in the pants, and I don't have to explain it to anybody.
All right. Yeah, I love that. I love that. Yeah. And it's, yeah, I guess that's why I just bristle when one says, how's your practice? Because in the first thing it comes is, none of your fucking business. Sorry. But it's just, it's not, you know, it's my practice. You know, and, but maybe they really want to know.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
You can tweet them.
Yeah.
So, is your practice impermanent?
Oh, absolutely. Everything. Yeah, yeah. That's why it's always changing, you know.
And I like your comment, Jerry, about the ebb and the flow of it. Because I just finished a term student program, and I was just going gangbusters. Right after the, you guys know this, right after the midterm retreat, it just went in the toilet. But something happened, and I don't know what triggered it, but I just went into this dive. In some dark place was lasting about 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks. And so, yeah, and I don't remember doing any kind of too much Zazen during that period. So, that rang true to me.
I was having trouble with my practice, and I had Sanzen with
Shintai.
Shintai, yeah. Yeah, you're right. What's your type? And I said, you know, it's just I'm up and I'm down, and you know, it's just sometimes sometimes I don't, you know, and it's like, God, lately it's just been not very good. And, you know, I mean, it's kind of like you're on this road, you know, and it goes up a hill and you always kind of come to the same spot and you look out, but it's, the view's a little different. So every time you come around that hill, the view's a little different. That's kind of how your practice is. Sometimes you're, you know, and then you come around and maybe you're not in exactly the same place, but you come back to it. I mean, I do, but maybe not. So,
it makes me think of a museum exhibit I saw once where this painter painted a water glass, a 5x7 painting. He painted his water glass in his apartment every day. There's a year of them. There's 300 of these things. It goes all over the museum. And every single one of them is a little bit different. There's something else reflected in the water glass. Or today was a cloudy day. Or today was a very sunny day. There's clutter in the background. And, you know, it's 365 completely different paintings of the same water glass when the water glass is transparent.
Yeah.
Right? The water glass only throws back the circumstances of the water glass. So you end up having endless, infinite views of the same thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I'm not, I don't know, not knowing is part of my practice. I take a lot of comfort in not having to have answers. It's so different from growing up having the answers. What is it? Have the answer, you know. You weren't comfortable unless you had something to throw out there. I don't know. It's a good answer. Works for me.
I think for me, practice is a lot about getting rid of value judgments of my practice, for example. But judgment in general, right, gives me an opportunity to suspend judgment and also to just kind of be more accepting, which I guess is kind of in a way the same thing.
Yeah.
It's kind of where I'm at now, and it's interesting because when I started this, and I've only been doing this for about a year, I kind of brought to it the same attitude I brought to a lot of things, which is I got to do this, I got to, like, you know, focus and just like, yeah. Now I don't sit too much, and it doesn't really bother me. I love sesshin, you know, I could be happy just doing sesshins and never sit by myself other than that. You know, and one of the reasons I like sesshin so much is because I don't have any expectations.
Yeah.
I really don't. And of course, it helps that I've only done a handful of them, so.
Yeah.
It's beginner mind, I guess. But it's just, I think what I've done is I've learned to kind of hold this whole thing a little bit looser than I hold a lot of things. And in particular, you know, I did the term student, one of my vows was to sit more, and I actually didn't. I didn't really do it. And I find that I was compensating in other ways, which I didn't expect. So I was going for longer walks more consistently, and during those walks I would take time to meditate as opposed to just listening to podcasts or whatever. So in a sense I kind of did sit more, but in a different way.
Yeah, I don't think the sitting is, it's just one thing. It's walking meditation. And walking meditation is why is that better, worse, whatever? I mean, it's just another way to actualize, you know, it's to bring your attention to something as opposed to being distracted, you know, it's to, you know.
Yeah.
That's right, cut the vegetables. Just be there. Just be, show up, be there. I mean, that's part of this coming here. Just show up. Sometimes you're sleeping. Sometimes the meditation just.
Yeah, I spent the first 6 months.
Yeah.
Sleeping.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, it was the best thing I ever did was open my eyes, because as soon as I closed them, that was it. It was like, man, if I close my eyes, I'm done, you know. But
so. How do you think, like, when you talk about, like, walking, meditation, and sitting, like, I used to run, and I loved running because I could just get in my own head and just kind of, like, I would run through Forest Park, and I would just, it just would be, like, just euphoric to me because I could just get probably the serotonin rush, but also I could just have my own time to think, and I kind of feel like that reminds me of meditation, like, or when I swim and I just do laps and I just am in my zone and I just kind of zone out. I feel like that to me is when I started practicing, like a year ago as well. Like, it reminds me of those experiences, those, like when I did long run, like a 6 mile run, or, you know, like you would do a long run and you would just zone out. I don't know. Does anyone else have those experiences? Like when you...
Oh, yeah.
Or yeah. I mean, like pottery. I'm not a good artist at all. But I just love doing pottery classes because I would just zone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looking at it or forming. But to me, I agree. Like, I feel like the action, and I don't know because I used to dance ballet, dancing, and... Mm-hmm. Those are all those forms where I could be, like, you just get in that, like, a zone. Like, I think artists talk about that, like, get in that artistic zone. But for me, also, it's action, like, it's running or swimming, but doing a repetitive thing, where you're just constantly repetitive, and then you can kind of, your mind's, like, goes out. I don't know, is that, it feels like the same to me, just sitting, because I'm taking that time to think and think, thoughts will come up, but I'm being more focused. Like now I'm more like questioning, why is that coming up? Or I won't trail off into that, you know, like something will come up, and then when I was before, I would kind of go off into that own world and be in that where I'm kind of going, why is that coming up? And questioning and just saying, you know, like, oh, that's nice that it came up, and then I'm gonna let it go. Where I didn't do that before with connections. But I don't know if anyone else has those experiences.
Well, I can certainly see the similarities.
Yeah.
But as an individual, I have always been a person of action. I remember being told, this was just a few years ago, I heard this in another community. Don't just do something, sit there. And I was shocked. I could no more sit anywhere and do nothing than I was shocked by that comment. And now it's one of my favorite things to remember. And for me, Zazen, in a way, it's like taking a break, even though I don't know if it's appropriate to say that or not, but for somebody like me who is always doing something, to sit and do nothing for 30 minutes, that, just saying it out loud, kind of feels healthy to me. It feels like I'm pulling away from the edge or something. It feels like a good thing to be doing.
Yeah, I think it's gotta be different for everybody. You know, it's just like your practice has gotta be different. Sitting's got to be different for you're the only one in there, you know. It's your life. All those things come together. No one's lived that life, so what's coming up is only going to be what's coming up for you, and sitting's going to be whatever it is. I mean, sometimes I think there's just so much emphasis on, you know, zazen, you know, just sitting. You know, it's like, oh man, I got to get this right. And as soon as I didn't care about it anymore, well, then it just kind of became something. You know, it's like coming home. And sometimes at Sesshin, it's kind of like that. where you're off doing something else, and man, I just want to get back. I just want to get back and just sit there for a while. And it's like, really, you do? And you go, yeah, I do. So, but that comes and goes too. But I absolutely, yeah, I don't. There was a time I can't run anymore, so it's really. But I like to walk, and it's kind of the same. The best walks for me when I almost lose myself. You know, it's like I look up and where the hell am I? You know, and when I like the nature park, and then went off and I went off this one trail and I came back and I was almost like, oh crap, where am I? You know, I'm here. But that moment where I didn't know, that was so sweet. I mean, it was just like everything dropped away. I was just out there. And I think those things happen. I think they happen sometimes in Zazen. The moments do come up, but don't try to grab it. Just stay away from that.
Athletes call it being in the zone.
Yeah.
And you talk to football players, professional football players, and they'll say, there's 60,000 people surrounding them, it's noise and everything else, but at some point the game gets very quiet. Mm-hmm. It gets very, very quiet, and it's the next play. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the zone, I don't know. Yeah.
I have tinnitus, so I always hear a buzz. And it becomes very distracting when I sit there sometimes because it becomes all there is. It becomes very loud. And then sometimes it disappears. And that's just, it just, because you're someplace else, because you're, maybe I'm thinking something else. I don't know what it is. But then I notice, of course, as soon as you notice it's gone, it's back. But it's kind of like that. Yeah. Close enough.